patients waiting more than 24 hours at hospital emergency departments has almost trebled in the first 5 months of 2022 compared to the same time last year, according to figures obtained by Sinn Féin. 25,000 people were waiting longer than 24 hours for admission via an emergency department to hospital between January and May of this year. There was also a significant jump in the number of patients aged 75 and older presenting to ED departments with what the HSE describes as complex care needs. We can talk now to Damien McCallion, who's the HSE's Acting Chief Operations Officer. Very good afternoon to you, Mr. McCallion, and thank you for taking our call this afternoon.
Good afternoon, Brian.
Now, what's been happening here is that the number of people presenting to ED departments hasn't gone up significantly if you compare these figures, as I understand it, for 2022 with last year, with 2021. But the waiting times, particularly those waiting more than 24 hours, has gone up, as we said, very significantly. What's going on?
Yes, there's a couple of factors. I suppose in comparing year on year, the two COVID years were less inclined to use. So we have seen an increase from 2019 of just over 5% in terms of attendances and a small increase in those being admitted. The main factors, though, at the moment are we are seeing more people who are now accessing care, perhaps who were restricted over recent years. We know our general practice particularly are very busy in recent times. The other issue, I suppose, for the health service, while for thankfully for society, in terms of the impact of COVID, obviously all of the restrictions have removed, but in our hospitals, they still have pathways for COVID and non-COVID patients, and that impacts on the flow in hospitals, number one. But there's also a number of other ways which that impacts as well. We, in terms of our utilisation of single rooms for infection for people with COVID, and we still have 450 this morning. You know, we've had 1,000 in recent weeks, people with COVID in hospital. And all of those restrictions then have to be put in place in terms of infection prevention control. So that's still a factor. The other pieces, Brian, I suppose, that relate to this as well, you know, we've had periods of several thousand staff being missing from our healthcare system, and that also impacts on our available capacity. And lastly, then, in terms of our community outbreaks in nursing homes, which are crucial, really, our community facilities are crucial for ensuring we maintain sufficient egress from hospitals, i.e. getting people to the appropriate place where they can get the right care for their level of need at that time. And again, even last week, we had over 200 outbreaks, which restricts admissions into some of those facilities. So there's no doubt that COVID is still in effect in terms of all of those pieces I've mentioned. But also then we are seeing clearly more people starting to come through, both from general practice and, as I say, small increases at 5% from 2019 to this year as well in terms of attendances. The last factor is that we are also seeing people, more older people presenting, and clearly that's more important that we manage those people through the system quickly. So we're very conscious of that, and that's really important to us.
And indeed, one of the more disturbing aspects of the figures which have emerged today is that of the 25,000 people who had to wait longer than 24 hours for admission between January and May of this year, 8,000 of those patients were people over the age of 75. Is it ever acceptable that somebody at that stage of life would have to wait so long, at least 24 hours and perhaps longer, for a bed?
But none of our hospitals want any elderly person, particularly at the most important time potentially in their life in terms of when they're ill, to have to wait for those sort of periods. And from our perspective, that's one of the key areas that we're focusing on now in terms of trying to improve. We know that age is one of the factors in terms of impacting on health, and clearly that's an area that all of our hospitals and indeed our community systems will be focusing as we move into what could well be a very difficult winter. So there is a focus on that in our hospitals. Clearly the pressures that I've mentioned contribute to that in terms of those circumstances, but we certainly don't want a situation where people are left for those inordinate amount of times, and I know our hospitals are focused on trying to improve that for those older people.
But you say you always prioritise, and I'm quoting from your statement, you always prioritise the sickest patients and most urgent cases for treatment and care. But you're also saying to us that there can be people in their late 70s, into their 80s and perhaps older, who don't qualify, if you like, under those criteria that are not urgent.
Well, that clinical judgment, Brian, is clearly made in the hospital at that point in time. Like, we do know, as I say, that age is a contributing factor. It won't always apply in every instance. And it can also come down to pressures in a hospital on a given day or a given evening. In other words, if there's a high number of beds not in use or a high number of beds blocked off, all of those things impact on admission, and they're all of the things that we're going to try and improve on, I suppose, as we head into what's already a difficult summer but could be an even more challenging winter. But I can assure you that in the hospital, our staff on the ground are trying as best they can to focus on those people who have the greatest need first. Clearly, that's what we have to do for people who come through the emergency department. But as I say, because we know that those people over 75 are more at risk, that's an indicator that we monitor very closely, even if at times it isn't telling us particularly good news that we want to hear.
Another figure included in these statistics is that almost 8% of people who attended an ED department, again between May and June, left before they were treated. They gave up, if you like, waiting. Now, do you have an understanding of why they're leaving, why they're not staying?
Yeah, there's a range of factors, and that does vary from site to site as well, Brian, in terms of circumstances. So in some cases, undoubtedly, it can be wait time and they may look for alternative forms of care. We also know that people perhaps with very difficult social circumstances, and perhaps in terms of homeless or have other issues presenting. And again, you know, in the hospitals, people do try and monitor that and track it. But we do know that some people, in some hospitals particularly, there's higher numbers there, may decide to go and look for alternative pathways to access care outside of ED if they see perhaps that there's significant wait times that are there and they can see the priority that's happening. Now, some hospitals are better constructed and better set up in terms of able to deal with those perhaps lower risk cases, and some people can get through those very quickly. But clearly, again, Brian, at certain times we know when the system is under pressure, a priority has to be given to those who are most ill.
But you don't differentiate between those who really urgently need attention and you know, just can't wait any longer, become weary. I mean, people understand the pressures that someone in that situation is under, and those who find perhaps treatment or care elsewhere. You can't differentiate.
Well, I mean, on the front line, I guess hospitals will prioritise those of greatest need, and they will try and get to those as quickly as they can in terms of both the actual initial diagnosis and then subsequently in relation to admission that we talked about earlier. So hospitals do prioritise those that have the greatest need, and I guess all I'm saying is that at certain times that pressure can still be so intense that it can still lead to delays for some of those patients. But hospitals clearly do prioritise on the frontline in emergency departments those patients who have the greatest need first.
Right. The figures today from the Irish Nurses and Midwives Organisation putting the numbers on trolleys waiting for bed or admission at 446. Now, that's perhaps higher than one might expect at this time of the year. This is, relatively speaking, often a quieter time in our hospitals. What is in prospect in the autumn, do you think?
So I guess the normally what happens, we look at what happens in Australia, because in their winter period, which is now our summer, that gives some indication, and they've had very significant challenges. Certainly from that perspective, we're trying to plan, I suppose, on the basis of all possible scenarios. And a couple of things there, I suppose, just in terms of the planning generally around our ED and unscheduled care, you know, we're looking at the short term as in what we can do now for this winter, medium term over the next 3 years, and the longer term in terms of capacity, and that we know we've significant bed capacity and other capacity deficits in our system. The immediate things that started earlier this year were things like, for example, acute beds and critical care beds. There's 190 acute beds will come on stream before the end of this year, 24 critical care beds and 200 community intermediate care beds. These are all capacity that take time, both perhaps from an estate perspective, but also to staff. And there are sort of workforce challenges. The other area that's been worked on over this year is what we call enhanced community care, which is focusing on trying to prevent other options for people who are potentially might be an admission to hospital or might have to go to ED so that they could perhaps be cared in the community. And there's 750 people plan to be recruited into these enhanced community care teams this year. Now, they will take some time to develop, but they will also help in terms of some of the short-term things.
All right.
Going into the winter, Brian, then what I would say is there's probably four key things we're doing. One is the vaccination. We can't emphasise enough, based on the Australian experience, the importance for people at risk to get their flu and COVID vaccine. Secondly, then, is some additional capacity measures. And thirdly, then, is looking at sort of avoidance issues for people in terms of some of the teams and staff that are in place in our community. And lastly, then, just trying to strengthen up the operational flow within hospitals from the front door through to discharge out either to home or to the community.
Very good. Damien McCallion, the HSE's Acting Chief Operations Officer, thank you for talking to us on the programme.